It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Fox News Podcasts presents the Brett Baer Podcast. Common ground.
There are a number of senators on the Republican side that continue to want to find common ground.
We emphasize the conflict and controversy sells. And I think that's a problem because most Americans look at Washington and see something that's broken.
Why don't we look for ways that we celebrate what this country is capable of doing?
It's amazing what you can do when you get off social media and you start talking and communicating with one another because there is common ground.
With Fox News chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
Puts forward Defense Department cuts.
We linked our request to our strategy, and again, I think we had to make some tough choices.
None of you believe going below 3% of GDP is good for the Department of Defense. I know that. I know it's hard. The president clearly thinks it is. He cuts the budget every year. It's got to make your job really tough.
Welcome back to Special Report. It's time now for our Common Ground segment. Two of the senators on that committee joining us tonight, two members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Republican, you just heard there, Dan Sullivan of Alaska. Senators, thanks for being here.
Great to be with you, Brett.
Senator Sullivan, the reason we played that is because you're talking there about the supplemental. And you said in that questioning that it should be called the Fighting Authoritarian Aggression Supplemental or the Defense Industrial Base Enhancement Act or something besides Ukraine aid because you're fearful that it's going to run into trouble.
Well, I'm fearful it's been mischaracterized, which it has been. It's not really a Ukraine aid bill, Brett. It is really focused on our ability to produce weapons for our own country. 60% of this bill goes directly into the industrial base of America, which is dramatically atrophied in terms of our ability to produce weapons. Everything from submarines to 155 millimeter howitzers. That's why I'm a strong supporter of that bill. But I also told the secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, hey, give it the correct description, which is this is about defending ourselves and our ability to fight China. Our industrial base is dramatically atrophied. This will help get us back to where we need to be to produce weapons for America.
And this is something that you see common ground. Totally. A lot of Democrats and Republicans
this
do.
This is not a Democrat or Republican division that we should be having, okay? Because as Dan, he basically described it very accurately. We benefit. The United States of America and our Defense Department benefits by this. And we're able to help our allies also. So it's a win-win. To make it a political situation where you got to pick one or the other, or you're for or you're against, is so wrong. And I appreciate Dan when he basically on the military, which understands it as well, if not better than most any of us on that committee, gets it because he's part of it and basically puts it that way. Can't we rise up for our country and not worry about our politics?
Because in this is about $6 billion to build subs.
Yeah, everything.
The weapons that Xi Jinping and China
You're not hearing
like.
NATO. Yeah. Until Dan spoke about that, we were in a committee. I was sitting there listening. When he spoke about that, to put it the way he did, you don't hear that. You don't hear the administration talking about that way. You don't hear politics on both sides, Democrat and Republicans that are opposed. And if we can get both sides to start looking at it, what's best for our country? What is going to help our military? How can we defend ourselves and be prepared? We're drawn in to different, you know, different.
And Brett, you may have seen the Secretary of the Navy just put out a report yesterday saying that every shipbuilding program in America, including subs, is years behind. And the Chinese are cranking out 10 to 12 high-end Navy ships every year. We got to get our act together.
I want to talk to both of you about something that's happening now, and that is the Middle East situation with the Israel-Hamas war. And this administration's talking about it. The president had an interview, said one thing. He said something else today. Take a listen.
I think what he's doing is a mistake. What I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country.
And it's tied to the hostages. There are a number of hostages that are being... from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Being held by the Hamas.
So today the president talked about Hamas and talked about the hostages, hasn't been talking about that. There is some confusion about administration policy vis-a-vis Israel and what they're doing. Obviously concerned, Senator Manchin, about civilian casualties there. But what are your thoughts?
I've been very clear. I've said this. How would you expect Israel or any other country that's been barbarically attacked the way they were to say, at least give us back our hostages, give us our citizens back? We'll sit down. Maybe we can work through this, but we're going to wipe out Hamas one way or another with the least amount of infliction on the innocent citizens. It's horrible they're caught in between. I've tried to describe what I understand. When countries, civilized countries, go to war because of disputes, there's basically the rules of war. When we use our military machinery, our military might to protect our citizens. When terrorist organizations go to war or conflict, they use their innocent citizens to protect their war efforts. That's what you're dealing with. And you have to understand that. To ask them to stand down and allow Hamas to reload without getting anything in return, and I said, I'd be the first one that would encourage, let's basically, we got our hostages all back. Sit down, let's work through this. Get the Arab and the Egyptians and the Arab Muslim countries to basically come into that part of the world. But to ask them not to get anything in return except stand down and allow them to reload, and making sure that we can identify and making sure that the aid that's being needed from food and necessities as far as medical is getting to the right people that need it and not the military that's going to take it and use it. Hamas has basically stripped that country of all the necessities they have needed to have any quality of life.
We should say Hamas rejected the latest offer.
Sure.
It didn't include hostages, but they rejected that ceasefire offer already. Meantime, Iran, there are some indications that they may be getting ready, Senator Sullivan, to attack Israel directly. The CENTCOM commander is heading to Israel tomorrow. It is a tinderbox over there.
Well, Brett, one of the things that we've been pressing, I think Joe would agree with me on, is another area of common ground, is we need to recognize that we need to do much more in terms of our policy, both military and non-military policy, to deter Iran. Think about it. Iran funds and trains the Houthis, Hamas, Hezbollah. You don't have any of those terrorist proxies without Iran. And we have not done nearly enough to deter them. One of the things that I've been saying, I was in a bipartisan meeting with the President of the United States, said, Mr. President, we have to do much more to bring the sanctions back with regard to the oil and gas regime of the Iranians. At the end of the Trump administration, Iran had $4 billion in foreign reserves because of the tough sanctions. Right now, Biden administration has let the sanctions off the hook. They have $75 billion in foreign reserves. Guess what they're doing with that? They're funding all these proxies. We need those kind of policies are bipartisan. Hit them hard again with oil and gas sanctions. I'm sure Joe Manchin agrees with that. These are the kind of things we need to do in addition to be strong militarily.
We'll continue right after this.
I want to talk about LNG in a second, but just weapons received, taken from the Houthis, small arms by the thousands, have now been captured and sent to Ukraine, which is just an interesting development as we talk about all
Thank
of
God.
That. We played a soundbite from Senator Sullivan at the beginning. I want to play one from you. This is from the Senate Energy Committee.
The White House has gone out of its way to signal that the pause is a political ploy intended to get votes on election year. It's all about politics, not economics. Again and again, the White House has shown that it is so concerned with indulging radical climate activists that it's willing to play politics with our energy security and that of our allies.
This is about the LNG pause, the export pause. The Secretary of Energy, Granholm, says it's important to take a beat and to say, with all the changes that have happened, what's in the public interest, which is what the Natural Gas Act requires us to take into consideration.
The Natural Gas Act tells you to get the facts. Do your background, do your study, do your work. Tell us exactly what our reserve base is. Tell us what our demands are going to be in our country for our economy. Make sure that we do not endure any pain whatsoever by allowing too much gas to go out. I understand all of that. They did none of that. First of all, we have 14 billion cubic feet a day going out. Okay? We've replaced about 20 to 30 to 40% of the Russian energy that was coming in to our allies and friends in EU. So with that, we have another 12 billion coming online within the next year or two. Now we're up to 26 billion cubic feet. And we have another 22 billion cubic feet in the queue. If all that comes to fruition, that's 48 billion cubic feet. I don't
know. Of
liquid natural gas going into the markets. I don't know if that's not enough, too much, or whatever. Only thing I can tell you, anyone that says you have to have a pause when we have the lowest prices of natural gas in America today, after we had no LNG going out in 2016, we're up to 14 billion cubic feet a day, and people were saying, oh, if we let this go out of the market, it's going to increase the prices in America. They've gone down. We've got the supply. Let's get the facts and then make a decision. This was a political-driven statement that was made. There was no scientific, there's no study being done or completed. Give me the completion and let's see.
If the House came back and tied LNG, this get rid of the ban, to something else, would the Senate, you think, consider that? Are the votes to break the LNG
pause?
You mean
as part of the national security supplemental?
Yes.
Absolutely, I think the Senate would. Look, a lot of my Democratic colleagues, Joe Manchin's been brave enough to talk about it publicly, but a lot of my colleagues, certainly the Republicans, but also the Democrats, know that this is a huge political mistake, the pause. And here's the other thing that Senator Manchin mentioned in the testimony, but I want to emphasize, our allies are saying, what the heck, right?
I've talked to... We've got to turn to Russia again.
And the Russians and the Qataris, the day after the pause, said, hey, Germany, hey, Japan, we can give you this gas that you need if the Americans are not going to do it. They are very upset about this at the highest levels of the German government. You know, the Prime Minister of Japan's in town all week, Brett. They're very upset about it. So this undermines our allies. One of the great strengths we have in America is American energy, and our allies need it. So I'm hopeful that the House would do that, and we can add that to a supplemental vote in the Senate.
If the House does it, I would recommend to Speaker Johnson, okay? I'd say, Speaker, if you're going to give us that language, which I think it needs to be done, do it with the intentions of getting the facts, making sure that we do the study, make sure we understand what our reserve capacity.
But he's right. The Democrats privately, not publicly like you are agree with you, a lot of them?
Oh, I say a majority.
I think
a majority. I do.
Because they're seeing what's happening with our allies and how upset they
are. Yeah, because what's happening right now, you know how long it's taken us to get Dita Jurgensen, who's the head of the EU Energy Committee? She basically advises, and I've been talking to her for the years. Dita, you need to get more long-term contracts from us, from our European counterparts, so that we can get longer-term contracts, get your prices down. She's finally convinced him. She calls me and says,
now what?
We convinced him, and now we're not sure if you're going to give it to us or not.
Yeah.
That's not the case. But what I'm saying, if Mike Johnson, if he does that and says, okay, we want to pause the pause until we get the facts. Let's do the study. If he puts the study in there, I'll guarantee the majority of Democrats will all go along.
Well, listen, this is what Common Ground's about.
It's the way it should be, and I want you to know, this is my friend, okay?
Well,
we don't always agree.
Not always.
But we can agree to disagree and work out our differences and come up with an agreement. That's what it's supposed to be.
And on national security and American energy, and by the way, helping Alaska develop its resources,
absolutely.
I got a great ally in Joe Manchin, too. That's important.
Well, spread the word up there. Thank you.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick, the show, as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform, and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.